This is your brother James, and this is God's Will Podcast.
Thanks for joining us today. Today I wanted to talk about divorce and non-negotiables within marriage, because a lot of things, you know, nowadays you see divorce a lot, and it's no different than it was even when Jesus talked about it in Matthew, or Matthew talked about it referring to what Jesus said. However, it's something that, you know, prior to being married, you should think about, and you should kind of have your, you know, non-negotiables set up, I guess you could say, you know. And I also wanted to go into non-negotiables within marriage. So I just, you know, I hope that somebody hears this and it preps them ahead of time, you know. And it's not an easy topic to talk about, but I heard it from a pastor one time. He said, you know, what is the one thing that would keep you from, you know, that would cause a divorce in your marriage? And I said, well, you know, or anybody could have said, you know, well, if they cheated on me. And he's like, well, don't get married, you know. So it's like, he's basically saying that could happen, and are you going to be able to, you know, forgive that person and come back to them? Well, what if they kept, well, if they kept cheating on me, then I would, well, don't get married, you know. There was a movie I saw. It was about a guy, I forgot the exact name of it, but it's essentially the story of Hosea. And if you don't know who Hosea is, he was a prophet in the Old Testament, the minor prophets. He's kind of early on in the minor prophets. And he said, you know, he had a wife that cheated on it, or she was a prostitute. God told him to marry a prostitute. She kept, you know, going back to prostitution, and he kept taking her back. And it's essentially the picture of God taking Israel back as they kept going to different gods and idols instead of him. And so the picture was, is this God continuously coming back to his bride. And the point is, you know, I know that's an extreme example, but there's, you know, people get divorced for much less. You know what I mean? Nowadays, like the things I've heard, it's just much less, you know, it's not a lot. Right. And it's unfortunate that people get divorced over less than that. You know, God kind of sets that as the bare minimum. Okay. So I wanted to just go ahead and read that. We'll go ahead and read Matthew 5 is where it talks about divorce. Verse 27 and 28, it says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And then I'll skip down to 31. He says, verse 31, he says, "Furthermore, it has been said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery," you know, and that's intense. You know, that's like extreme. It's like, oh, okay, so I get divorced and I marry somebody else, I'm committing adultery. Well, that's what God says. However, and I'm not trying to go back on this. God, Jesus is talking to Jews, and Jesus is also prior to the Old Testament ending. So remember, even though Matthew's in the New Testament, you know, because we have a page that tells us he's in the New Testament, it's not actually where the New Testament begins. The New Testament starts when he dies at the cross. And I have proof for that. You go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 through 18. So if you go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 through 18, it says, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood." So, you know, read that 10 times over, right? Jesus had to die for the New Testament to begin. That's essentially what it's saying, okay? So, you know, when people start getting legalistic about this and they say, you know, you're committing adultery when you have, you know, you've been divorced and you get remarried, you're committing adultery. And in the Old Testament, this is true. Okay. This is not false. And you should not get divorced at all cost, no matter what the cost. And God does, you know, I read to you, you know, God does a lot, you know, say that it is okay to get a divorce if someone commits adultery. He says that it's okay. But that's like the bare minimum, right? Like, it's like, okay, don't get, you know, can you envision this person, you know, doing this horrific thing to you? And if you can, and you don't like it, and you think you'll divorce them, don't get married to them. Okay. So what this leads me to is put yourself in bad situations, horrible ones, and just see what happens and see how you'll react in your own mind. And what it does is, even though it's kind of ridiculous to say it out loud, you know, it's kind of ridiculous and it's stupid, but what would you do if this happened? And it doesn't have to be, you know, your wife or your husband cheating on you. It could be anything. It could be, I walk into work and my boss, you know, says something to me that offends me. What am I going to do? I walk into work and my coworker says something egregious about, you know, somebody that I know, and I, you know, immediately, you know, react like, oh, yeah, that would never happen to them, you know, or, you know, so just put yourself in those situations ahead of time. So that way, when they, you know, if by happenstance they come up, you're prepared and you're not just like thrown off guard and you're reacting all irrationally. And, you know, this happens with parents and their kids all the time. It's like a kid does something at school that's ridiculous. You know, got caught smoking weed. Okay. Got caught smoking weed. And the parent's like, oh, no, not my kid. No, my kid would never do that. And it's like, well, it's because you didn't actually, you know, think about the fact that your kid does have the ability to do something that, you know, egregious. I'm not saying, you know, weed's that egregious. But just think of like the worst possible thing and realize, you know what, that could happen. And how am I going to react to it? There was a football coach, right? For the University of Colorado Boulder. His daughter gets pregnant by the quarterback of the football team. Okay. And his reaction, it's insane. You know what his reaction is? It was probably the most like, I don't want to say the most beautiful picture of like a father and with his daughter, and then also with the person that he coaches. He said, this is my doing for not giving my daughter the attention that she needs. And he told his quarterback this. He said, if you don't love her, please do not continue to be in her life. And, you know, just continue your life. You know, and he basically gave him a pass almost, is what, you know, a typical person would say. And they would just, you know, a lot of people would, you know, were probably outraged and thought it was ridiculous. And how could he do that? And what kind of man is that who would just let his daughter, let that happen to his daughter? And it's like, no, he was taking responsibility for his end, you know? And he realized that what he did was his part in it was that he wasn't giving his daughter what she needed because of his career path. And he knew it. The minute it happened, it was almost like he expected it to happen. And I believe that's what, you know, how God wants us to operate, is almost expect the worst. And it sounds, you know, it sounds idiotic. It sounds like backwards, but it's like, it's true. You won't be disappointed when you just think of the worst thing that could happen in a certain situation. You will not be disappointed, because guess what? It probably isn't going to be that bad, one. And then two, you're going to get in the situation and something, you know, maybe close to it happens, and your reaction is just very, you know, you're just very at peace about it, because you know this could have happened, or this, you know, something worse than this could have happened. Praise God it didn't, you know. So, you know, I drive to work every day. When I'm driving down the road, I expect someone to cut me off. Like I'm driving and I see a guy and I know he's up, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's driving fast. I'm expecting this dude to jump out right in front of me. I don't just pretend like everybody's going to drive perfect every morning. I expect the worst, you know, I expect it to happen. I expect a bad person, you know, or a bad driver to cut me off right when I don't like it, you know? And it's like, I drive and I go to work very peacefully. I like driving. I actually really enjoy driving. And I do think that that's a big reason for it. So anyway, sorry, getting back on topic, divorce and, you know, sexual immorality. Okay, so there's a couple, you know, a couple of people I think of. There was a man in my life long time ago, and this was like when I was in middle school. Got married to a woman, you know. When I met him, they were married for years. I think they might have had kids. I can't remember. She, you know, I found out she cheated on him regularly, and I never knew that. You know, I never ever knew that. I don't even know how I found out, like, years later, that the reason they got divorced is because she was, like, habitually cheating on him. He was with her for, like, years before he actually broke things off, you know, years. And this is, you know, God said on the first time, basically, you're good to go. You can go. You don't have to stay in there. But he chose to stay because he knew that his bond to that woman was sacred with God. And even though she was breaking it, he couldn't. He ended up marrying a great woman later. You know, it worked out for him. But it was just when I think of that, I realize, like, no, you shouldn't get divorced. Like, you really shouldn't, even if it is terrible, because this life that we're in is just so brief. And all you can do is what you can do. You know, all you can do is, like, I've been given this situation. What can I do with it? And I'm not saying divorce is the easy, you know, is always the easy way out, because sometimes you do. You just, the person's so toxic, maybe they, like, become a drug addict or something, and it's just so toxic, you have to get out, right? And I'm not saying there aren't specific situations, but I am saying that sometimes you just got to kind of fight through some of these situations that seem so hard. And yet God continues to come back to us when we continuously seek other idols and other things that are just taking our time and grasping for our attention other than him. And God just continues to come back. And so that's what you got to think about. You got to think about it that way. And you got to think about it as this father who could have, like, gotten so mad at this football player, but chose to accept what he did wrong. And, you know, when I was dating, there was always, like, you know, after a certain age, you know, women get divorced, right? So you're always kind of curious, like, you know, why things happen, you know, why they got divorced or whatever. And the thing is if you're dating a divorced woman, you need to hear one thing, okay? And this is always something that I remembered, is I need to hear them take responsibility for their end of the divorce. If it's always, like, attacking the other person and how bad they were, they will do the exact same to you. And, or a man, you know, if it's a man, if you're a girl and you're pursuing a man and he isn't, what, you know, wasn't a marriage, they got divorced, and all you know, anytime it comes up, he's, like, talking poorly about the other person and what they did wrong to him and all this and all that. Even if the other person cheated on him, even if that, there was still some responsibility on the other end, the person who got hurt or whatever, there was still some responsibility on their end on why that happened. And, you know, I feel like I sound like some, you know, like Dr. Phil or something, because it's like, it's kind of, you know, the person, it's like, oh, well, they cheated. That's just what it is. And it's like, yeah, but what happened to cause them to go find that somewhere else, you know, to go seek that? Like, you know, are you working, you know, is the other person working too much? Is it something that they're doing that would create that opportunity for that to happen? I mean, how does that happen? You know, it's not just that now, don't get me wrong, they have most of the blame. I'm not sitting here saying it's 50-50. It's not 50-50. It could be 10% on the other person's end, right? It could be 5%. It could be 1%. I don't know. But it's that 1% that created the opportunity for the other person to make that mistake. And it's important that we just seek God. Read the Bible. Love people, get into fellowship, pray, worship, fast, all those things. And I have a ton of podcasts prior. If you want to go to back to the spiritual, I have a whole section, I have a series on fasting. I have a series on spiritual health. There's all kinds of things in there about, you know, you just got to go back a little bit in my library of of my podcast to find, you know, there's things in there where these are the things you have to do to maintain your spiritual health and also just be there and to love your spouse, you know. And I look back and you know, sometimes I think, you know, the career path I chose, I'm a teacher. And sometimes I think that maybe I didn't work enough to, you know, build more wealth or whatever. But then I realized, you know what, like, I have so much time to spend with my wife that I think that is the most important thing outside of God. I truly believe that spending time with my wife is the most important thing in the world. That's it. And I have time to do that. I have 13 weeks off a year. I don't want to give that time up. Even if I want to, you know, like, I don't want to make, like, at what cost? Like, oh, to make more money so I don't have that time to spend with my wife, and then things happen and then I wonder why. Or yeah, so it's one of those things where it's like I'm almost like an opportunity opens up to like get a better job in my job, right? Like there was a girl who quit and I was really thinking about moving into that position, but I was like, but what, at what cost? Time, you know. Yeah, I make more money, but time, you know, what, my time is so valuable to me. Like, I love, there's things that I do. Like, there's rec, I play rec sports. I, you know, I enjoy spending time with my wife. I have fellowship groups I meet with. We read the Bible, you know, stuff like that. It's like, will I lose some of that just to make a little more money? And is it really worth it? So it's just like, it's like one of those things you just got to think about, you know? And I look back at my dad. So my dad was really good at this. My dad was a little extreme, I'll admit. My dad, literally his life was his wife and his kids. And he worked, you know, 40 hours a week. He was an engineer. And, you know, just to kind of, on a side note, being an engineer is the highest paying 40-hour-a-week job you can have. So if you're trying to find a job where you don't have to work a ton of hours, like a doctor, because a lot of people think, oh, I want to be a doctor because they make a lot of money. Do you know how many hours doctors work when they start? They work 80 hours a week minimum. That's like normal, 70 to 80 hours a week. And you're like, oh, well, they make a lot of money. But it's like, at what cost, you know? At what cost do you want to make that much? And some people are called to that. I have a buddy who's called to that. But I know another doctor who he's like, you know, in his 60s, and he got a 60-hour-a-week job. And he's like, yeah, it's great. I only work 60 hours a week now. And he's like excited about it. And it's like, man, you know, at what cost? So that's all I'm going to hopefully leave you with, is at what cost is it going to affect your, you know, the relationship with your wife, your spouse, which could, you know, at one point lead to a divorce, which you may or may not be surprised by. But I encourage you to have that mindset ahead of time. Because when you go into the marriage, you're not wondering why things are going wrong. But if you have all the time to spend with that person, you know, it's less likely. Now, it's not saying that it's not going to happen. It's less likely that something will happen. You know what I mean? Because you're there and you're spending time with them. And I think that is what God wants. And I heard a sermon one time, you know, the priorities go like this. It goes God first, right? Goes your spouse second. If you don't have a spouse, obviously that's not there, right? Your kids third. If you don't have kids, not there. Fourth is, I'm pretty sure it's your job, and then it's church, right? Or it could be church and then your job. I can't remember exactly which one. And then, so it would go God, if you're single, it goes God, your job, church, right? Then your friends and family, and then personal, you know, your wants and needs. Okay, so you're last. Everybody else before you. You also don't want to get to a point where you're, you know, not able to get to that last thing either. You still need to make time for that last thing. But guess what? If you're working all the time, you don't have time for that last thing. Right? You got kids. That last thing might happen once a month. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's not that. You got to make time for the last thing still, even though it's the last thing. You still got to make time for it at, you know, some point in your day, week, month, whatever. So I encourage you to, you know, think ahead before you run into these situations. And I do this in every situation. Now, yeah, I do it while I'm driving. I just told you I do it while I'm driving. I expect poor decisions to happen on the road. I just expect it. That way I'm not pissed off when it happens, you know? And I just admire, again, that coach who I was talking about. I just admire that guy for taking responsibility for his end of the situation when he could have been a pissed off dad, which if you're a dad listening to this, you would have been just as pissed off as any dad, you know? But it's one of those things where you just got to take responsibility, or a parent who their kid gets caught with weed on campus and you're like, not my kid. And it's like, no, it could have been your kid. And you might not have just been paying close enough attention. So I encourage you as parents, dads, husbands, fathers, whatever. Think ahead and put yourself in these poor situations and understand that it could happen. But you praise God when it does it. Amen.
And this was your brother James with the God's Will podcast.